It's from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Nice and short and sweet. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
I was going to pray for Tim and he walked away. Father, again, we just say how much we appreciate this guy. We just ask, Lord, I ask that you would anoint him, that you would give him words from your heart that would give us life this morning. So, Lord, I pray for him that you would give him clarity of thought, that you would allow him to speak your words to us and that we would receive them in Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. Thank you. So I was ordained in 2007, I think it was, and I went and did my curacy in Milton Keynes in England. Now, if any of you who ever had the fortune / misfortune to go to Milton Keynes, it's an unusual place. But I did 25 funerals in my first year. Now, most of my course mates going through the same training maybe did one, and I had the nickname the Reverend of Death. Because I did so many funerals. Now, the great thing was that actually I got to learn how to do funerals pretty quickly and pretty effectively. What kind of challenges there were, what sort of liturgy I'd need. I developed a couple of different funeral sermons, was able to give a bit of advice. But the thing that I could never control was the piece of music that the family would often want played at the end. I had all sorts played at the end of sermons. I had Monty Python, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Quite often, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, that one, which was quite painful. I was going to say the funniest one, but that sounds awful, doesn't it? But we were at a graveside once, and it was the strangest thing. Where, you know, like sometimes in your life, it feels like you're looking down at your own life, going, oh, my word. This is really interesting. And I was there with my robes flapping in the wind. And the family wanted Mama by the Spice Girls played. And the funeral director had the ghetto blaster and processed solemnly with the ghetto blaster and then started playing Mama by the Spice Girls. And then kicked the ghetto blaster. Now, it didn't go in the the grave, which was good, but it basically sort of tumbled. So literally we had probably two lines of Mama by the Spice Girls. And I had to say at the end, and that was Mama by the Spice Girls. And it's probably one of the most awkward moments of my life. But apparently the number one most used song at the end of a funeral is My Way by Frank Sinatra. So let me read some of the words to her. And I can remember a couple with this at the end. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much, much more, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spat it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. So, one of the other parts of the service was the Lord's Prayer. And again, this was probably one of the few parts that often people who weren't part of a church knew. So I'm going to do a little bit of compare and contrast for you, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now, can anyone see what the difference is? Okay? The first one is I, me, I. The second one is you, yours, are. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. So one is about the kingdom of self, and the other is about the kingdom of God. So just to orientate us here in terms of where we are on our journey through prayer, okay, we are on the why, the yeah, okay, and we're talking about yielding, giving way, surrendering. So instead of my kingdom come, my will be done, I am the center of my world, it is your kingdom come, your will be done, you will be the center of my world. So the whole of the Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of yielding, saying, Lord, come in. You have the power. You have the glory. Richard Foster, who wrote The Celebration of Discipline, he said this. He said, to pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us. He said, if we're unwilling to change, we'll abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. So in praying, we choose to yield to being changed and transformed more into the likeness of Jesus. Okay? In praying, we choose to yield to being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Okay? So we have a choice about whether we yield, and we have a choice around how we yield. Do we yield willingly? I heard the story of a little kid who behaved absolutely terribly one day. He was wreaking absolute havoc in his household, and he was terribly badly behaved. And his parents sent him to the naughty step and said, sit there. And apparently he sat there, and later on he said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. So do we choose willingly to yield? Or are we pushed and prodded and think, oh, I probably should. He's God after all, isn't he? Or do we yield willingly and hopefully and joyfully? For that is the way we are called to yield. We sometimes treat yielding to God like almost choosing a New Year's resolution. Oh, I know it's good for me. I need to lose a bit of weight. And it's like a bitter pill. It's like bad medicine. But yielding to our Father who knows us, who loves us, who likes us, that is good medicine. That is medicine that brings life, that brings hope, that brings joy. So when we yield to God, it's not like we're saying we're less than. God actually makes us more than as we yield. We become more who we're called to be, more who we're shaped and designed to be. So when we have the opportunity to yield, let's yield willingly. Let's not be like a stubborn donkey. I think if we're honest, at times we like to march to the beat of our own drum, don't we? There are times I think, I want to be Lord of my life. I want to set a direction, and I'm going to go that way. So part of the process of yielding to God, yielding to change, yielding to transformation is the process of repentance. Now, when I say the word repentance, repentance kind of has this ring of like, oh. But actually, repentance, again, repentance is not a bitter pill. Repentance is something that brings change. So the word repentance, metanoia, a change of mind, a change of heart, a turning towards. So it's why in the service in the Anglican Church, we have confession every week, okay? But let's not confuse confession and repentance. For confession is an acknowledgement of sin, and then repentance is the turning and changing kind of away from it. So if we're not careful, we can confess with our words and live our life in exactly the same way. So repentance is important. It's a process that takes us from the kingdom of self to the kingdom of God. So we are to be a people of repentance. In Romans 2, it says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. The Message version says it this way. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. So repentance is not a thing of pain. It's a thing of returning home. It's a thing of joy. It's a thing actually where we yield to the changes that God wants to make. And sometimes those changes he might want to make are personal, are costly. They might even hurt, but they are for our good. They are ultimately for our good. So we yield in repentance. And then we also yield in sacrifice. So our passage from Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. So our true and proper worship is a yielded, surrendered heart. Okay? So often we think of worship as the songs that we sing, and they are awesome because they help us to yield. But true worship is a surrendered and yielded heart. It's an offering to him, a living sacrifice. So I want to think for a minute about that imagery about sacrifice. It's often helpful just to say, what would Paul's hearers have heard? Now, they would, of course, have thought about the temple sacrifices. It could be lambs, it could be goats, all sorts of different things brought as a sacrifice, as a worship offering. But, of course, those sacrifices would have been incredibly bloody. Okay. We don't need a bloody sacrifice because a sacrifice has been made in blood for us. Okay? So we're not called to be like a dead goat. We are called to be a living, breathing sacrifice, a sacrifice that has a pulse and that pulses kind of with the heartbeat of God. So Tom Wright says this. He said, instead of the sacrifice being there to be killed, the Christian's self-offering is about coming alive with the new life that bursts out in unexpected ways once the evil deeds of the self are put to death. So I'm not saying sacrifice is easy, but sacrifice brings life. So think of those words, repentance and sacrifice. They bring life and they bring joy. A living sacrifice is breathing, vital, alive, and moving. Irenaeus talks about the glory of God being man fully alive. Men and women with hearts surrendered and yielded. And it goes on in Romans, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have a choice with what we yield to. Do we yield to the world, to what culture says, to what the latest fad says, to what consumerism says, to the messages of the world? Do we want to yield to them? Because boy, oh boy, sometimes they want to try and yield us into submission. Or will we instead yield ourselves joyfully to God? A living sacrifice to the pattern of the kingdom of God. So instead of the pattern of the world, the pattern of the kingdom, to love, to joy, to peace, to hope. What will we choose to yield to? Because we all yield to something, don't we? So yielding, being a living sacrifice, is not a thing of loss. It's a thing of gain. It's not a thing of death. It's a thing of life. But there is cost. There is cost. Sounds easy, but the gain is huge. Yielding to God is a lifelong activity. It's a daily activity where we have a choice to yield. And that's what I love about the P-R-A-Y. It's really simple. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Just that little moment of surrender as we finish praying, as we finish a service, as we finish a small group, while we're walking the dog and we're praying, just that sense of yielding again. God, I choose to yield because I trust you, because you are good, because I know that you have me in your hand. And the challenge is to fight against the desire to see change and transformation so quickly. Now, I am absolutely no expert on gardening, but I think if you plant something one day, like a seedling, you don't go out the next morning, pull it up, and have a look at the roots, and look at it. Is it grown? We are on a slow journey. I've been reading a book recently by Eugene Peterson. It's A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. So we are called to daily ongoing yielding and surrendering to God, to his will, to his ways, to his call, and to his love for us. So will you yield day by day? It's a call to recommit ourselves. John Wesley wrote a prayer, and it's called the Covenant Prayer. And I just think it captures beautifully that sense of the need for recommitment, for re-yielding. I don't know about you, but I'm just, you know, I get caught, my attention goes one way and then the other. So we have a call to recommit. And this is his covenant prayer, and it's in kind of newer English than he wrote it. He said, I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. And let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. So my question to you this morning is, do you need to rediscover the habit of yielding? Discover that the habit of surrendering, of actually acknowledging God's goodness and saying, actually, I want to be about the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of self. So I wonder if you just stand with me, just while the band maybe come forward. And the temptation is often with a sermon is we kind of grab hold of one thing and think, oh yeah, I need to do that. So what I want to do is just to offer you just some moments just in quiet. And I want you just to ask yourselves the question, do I need to yield? And do I yield willingly or willfully? To say again, your kingdom come and your will be done. Not just to be someone who confesses, but also someone who moves into repentance. So do you need to yield? Do you need to yield willingly rather than willfully? And to say again, your kingdom come, your will be done. So just in the quiet, just take a time just to respond, to talk to God. Ask for his help. Lord, we thank you that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. Lord, will you draw us close to you? And Lord, we're sorry for the times when we choose not to yield because we want to go it alone. But Lord, we just pray that you'll reveal in our heads, in our hearts. Just remind us, Lord, that you are good, that you can be trusted, that we can yield to you wholeheartedly and willingly. And Lord, where we are willful, Father, forgive us. And Lord, we yield to you as individuals, but also we yield to you as a community. To your ways, to your patterns. To the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of self. Your peace. Lord, where we may be feeling anxious, uncertain, where we may have lost hope, Lord, will you bring your peace, your hope, your joy and renewed picture of your kingdom.